they're already built, remember? They're already built. The walls are built now. We are in chapter 8 of Nehemiah. And after all the things that had happened, revival broke out. Isn't that cool?
I like revival.
Nehemiah chapter 8. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in the towns and all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which was the Lord, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. And he read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for this occasion. And beside him on the right stood Mattaniah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. And on his left were Pedaiah, Mishael, Malachijah, Hashum, Hashbanab, Zechariah, and Mushlaham. And Ezra opened the book, and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. And Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. And they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, I'm not going to mention them all, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. And they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, and to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. And on the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra the scribe to give attention to the words of the law. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. "Go out into the hill country and bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees, and from myrtles, palms, and shade trees to make booths, as is written." So the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves booths on their own roofs and in their courtyards and in the courts of the house of God and in the square by the water gate and the one by the gate of Ephraim. And the whole company that had returned from exile built booths and lived in them. And from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated like this. And their joy was very great. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. And they celebrated the feast for 7 days. And on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. Father, I ask you, Lord, to take your word and make it come alive in our lives. We thank you, Father, for the amazing work that you are doing in the lives of these people. And they were just as real as we are. And I think many times when we read these stories, we think, well, you know, it's just about somebody. But these are real people that loved you and wanted to get close to you and understand you. And that just help us, Father, to be reminded of that. And in the same way, Lord, you want to be close to us. You want us to look to you and to look to your word and listen to your spirit as it speaks to us. And we're so grateful that we have your Holy Spirit living within us. We just thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there was a revival that broke out. After all the walls had been completed, after all the gates had been hung in place, And after all these people had come together, they began to listen to God's Word. Now, literally, they began hearing God's Word. It's not like every one of them had a copy of God's Word in their house. They didn't. And it was a very painstaking thing for one person, as Ezra was a scribe and a priest, to sit down and to rewrite the Bible in a new text, on a new scroll. It was very difficult. And in fact, you had to start over here and write from right to left, because the Bible's always right. And Hebrew goes right to left anyway. I just threw that in for no reason. Okay. So they began hearing God's Word. They asked Ezra to bring the book of the law, which is called the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. Obviously, God's Spirit was already moving among them because they desired to hear His Word. I want to tell you something, folks. We will know when God begins to truly move in our midst, when people want to come and hear God's Word, when they want to be together and study God's Word. If you have to beg them to come, it's not happening right now. But there'll be a day, if we continue to be faithful, and if we continue to study God's Word, there'll be a day that people get hungry again for God's Word. The question is, do we desire His Word? Is that something you desire in your own heart? Is that something I desire in my own heart? Or would I rather do something different? These people were so hungry for God's Word, they asked Ezra to bring the book of the law and just begin to read it. Ezra was the scribe and the priest. He had led the rebuilding of the temple earlier, before the walls had been rebuilt. What he had started, Nehemiah had helped finish. And oh, by the way, isn't it interesting that they rebuilt the temple first and then they rebuilt the walls? I like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it." We need to be reminded, whatever we're doing for the cause of Christ right now, we are laying foundations for others to come along and to build upon. And certainly Nehemiah and all the people who worked on the walls, and Ezra and the people who had rebuilt the temple, had laid the solid foundation for the people then to come and to be built up in. Because he was a scribe, he certainly loved God's Word by spending so much time in it. Can you imagine that being your job? Taking God's Word and writing it word for word in another place. That's what he did. Everyone who could hear the reading of it needed it. And by the way, folks, every person in this town needs to hear the Word of God, whether they think they do or not. I remember as a young boy, when there wasn't a whole lot to do, every once in a while, my granddad would turn the TV on in the evening and he'd say, "I want you to come in here and sit down and listen to this." And it was a Billy Graham crusade. And we would sit there in front of that TV and listen to Billy Graham preach. And oh my goodness, I was just moved from the inside out when he would explain God's Word. We need that in this country again, instead of all the garbage that's on the tube today. It's just junk. It's not good for anything. You know, if it makes you laugh one time, big deal. I mean, listen, folks, we need to hear God's Word. And everyone who could hear the reading of it, they needed it. These people gathered from dawn to hear God's Word. Listen, folks, they didn't want to sleep in that day. They wanted to be right there and listen to the reading of God's Word. They were willing to sacrifice something to hear it. They wanted it. And like Jacob, they wouldn't let go until they got the blessing. I'm reminded of how much it really means to people who truly desire to be in God's Word. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who say, "Yeah, I believe God's Word is true," but they never read it. They never spend time in it. They never study it. They come to church every once in a while. But, folks, this is God's Word. I mean, why would we not want to get into God's Word? If we know God, we should desire to be in God's Word. These people wanted to be in God's Word. And as Ezra began to read it, the people began to receive it. You see, it's something totally different than just hearing. It is receiving. Now, I dare say there's been a lot of people who've probably heard bits and pieces of God's Word spoken to them, written, whatever it was. They've heard it, but they've never received it. It doesn't mean anything to them. They don't understand that it's truly God's Word. His Word was literally elevated. They put Ezra up on the tallest place, on a place that they had built up for him, so that he could stand above everyone else. First of all, so they could hear it. Everybody there could hear it. They didn't have a PA system. They didn't have a microphone. He didn't have to wear one of these things on his head. He just stood up and began to speak God's Word. And the people desired for everyone to be able to hear the Word. What if we desired that? What if we truly desired everyone to hear God's Word? I was interested when one of the members of a church that I was at before came to me one day and he says, "Man, I've got a great idea." And I said, "What is that?" He says, "Why don't we, since people don't always come in, why don't we put speakers on the corners of our building and broadcast outwardly what's happening on the inside?" And I thought, "Hey, that's a pretty cool idea. Why don't we do that?" And we did. And there would be people passing by or walking by or walking their dogs or whatever, and they would hear the music, and then they would hear the Word. And, you know, it's pretty amazing because we'd have people come in sometimes and say, "You know, I heard you guys singing. We'd like to, you know," and they'd come in. And so it's, maybe we should do that here. I don't know. Anyway, we'd have to get some kind of tech guy on that, but I don't know. The most important thing was the people themselves were prepared to hear the Word. You know how you prepare to hear the Word? You get rid of self. You want God more than you want yourself. These people wanted God to speak to them. And so when Ezra opened up the Word, all the people stood up because they respected and honored God's Word. We even saw that in Revelation. That is, they began to speak the Word of God. The people stood up. Then all the people answered, and they thanked God by saying, "Amen." And they prayed and they lifted their hands. Oh, they must have been Pentecostal. Listen, folks, it's okay to lift your hands. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but it's built within a person. It's built within a person that when they come to an exciting time or a joyous experience, they lift their hands. Whoa! Have you ever seen people do that? Now, why do they do that? Because it's built within them to give praise to something. And if you're lifting your hands up, you're giving praise to God. It's okay to lift your hands. I wish we could all do it. It's kind of hard to do it when I'm playing the guitar, but I'd do it otherwise. They worshipped Him also then by bowing down before Him. And let me tell you something, folks. When we get into the true presence of God, we can't help but bow before Him. We can't help but realize that He is so great and we're so small. And yet He gave His very life for us. God's Word was then taught. Verses 7 and 8 says that these special men were appointed to teach and they helped the people to understand the law. In other words, they hadn't heard the law. Most of these people that were alive had not heard it yet. And so some of the things that were being read, they didn't understand it. And so some people who knew the law and knew about God's Word began to teach the people. James chapter 3, verse 1. "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Listen, folks, don't let that be a scary thing. Let it be a motivating thing. Because every single one of us need to be teaching our children, need to be teaching our families, need to be teaching every person that God gives us to be able to help out and disciple. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Listen, folks, there's a lot of people that don't want to hear the Word of God. And the reason is because they don't think it's really important. They're not spiritually alive. So it doesn't mean anything to them. They could take God's Word right now and start reading it in Genesis. And if they don't have the Spirit tugging on their heart, it's not going to mean anything to them. It's going to be like a story. But when the Holy Spirit begins to convict their hearts, they'll either quit reading it or they're going to ask somebody, what does this mean? We need to be ready to help people along. You know, one of the most amazing things when I was growing up as a young child, when we got together for Christmas or for a birthday or whatever else, one of the best presents you could give somebody was a Bible with their name written on the front. Don't see a whole lot of that anymore. And because we're in an electronic age, most people just have it on their phone. It's good to have God's Word. What was the response to God's Word? Well, in the last number of verses in this passage, it begins to say how important it was to them. The people began to weep. When was the last time God's Word so moved you to tears? See, because that's what God's Word will do. It cuts down to the very depths of our heart, to the very depths of our soul. And when we hear God's Word, and when we listen to God's Word, and we begin to take God's Word and hide it in our hearts, it will bring us sometimes to tears because we know what's really on the inside of us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I got the teaching and rebuking and training in righteousness, it brought tears to my life. You know what I mean? And it still does. Sometimes when the two-edged sword of God's Word pierces our hearts, it hurts and it brings tears. Because we need to be convicted. We need to hear the truth and we need to respond to it. But then there were those who were there and says, now listen, don't weep any longer. This is a day of rejoicing. They understood the words that were declared to them. They began to understand that this was not bad news. This was the best news. This was great news. God was telling them all that they needed to know to walk with Him and to learn of Him. God's Word is personal. It's not just a bunch of words written on a page. It's God's Word. And if you treat it as just another book or just a bunch of things that are, you know, could be helpful, it's not a self-help book. It's God's Word. And we need to treat it like it's God's Word. And they began to gather again over and over for more. They wanted more and more of God's Word. And the heads of the households, specifically the fathers would be teaching and leading their children to honor and study God's Word. And so they wanted to understand God's Word so they could teach their children. Many men have chosen to provide for their families with the material things of the world, and they've left the spiritual teaching up to their wives. But it was never meant to be that way. Fathers should be teaching their children. Doesn't mean moms can't teach their children. They certainly can. But the father should be spiritual leadership of the home. He should be leading out and not sitting on the back part of the fence. And then it says, they began to observe the Feast of the Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. It's mentioned two different ways in Scripture. But literally, they began to obey the law by doing what it said. They didn't just say, "All right, man, that sounds really awesome. Okay, thanks. Going back home to do what I'm going to do." No, they began to obey God's law. When they heard it, they began to obey it. And by the way, that's the whole reason God has given us His Word, so that we will obey it. Do you remember Jesus in John chapter 15 was talking to His disciples? You know, He said, "You know, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that remains in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." He goes on down to say, "And this is how you can show my Father that you love Him. The same way that I show my Father how I love Him. I obey Him." When we obey God's Word, when we obey what He has to say to us, it shows Him that we really love Him, that we really care about what He's asked us to do. And so they obeyed the law by doing what it said. They could see God's blessings. The Feast of the Tabernacles was all about remembering how God had blessed and provided for the Israelites in the wilderness during the Exodus. They could see God's blessing and provision for them right then, and it made something old seem brand new to them. Because just as in the wilderness God had provided manna and provided fresh water, and provided everything that they needed, He was also providing for them by giving them a safe place to live now and a temple to worship in and all the things and having God's Word read to them. They were so excited and they were so blessed. I remember, and it's been probably 20 years, maybe even longer than that. I guess it's a little bit longer than that. When I was in a church that went through an amazing awakening and revival. And it was like every night people wanted to gather. And we did. The revival was scheduled for a week. And 4 weeks later, we were still meeting every night. Because people wanted to hear God's Word. And people were being broken and confessing and changing and bringing others. And God was just doing an amazing work. Do you desire for that to happen here? I do. I desire for that to happen, first of all, in my life. That I would so desire God's presence, so desire God's Word, so desire to be with the people of God in His presence and see what He would do. God's not through with us. He's not. If He was, we wouldn't be here. He's not through with us. He still has a purpose and a plan. We've got to make sure we're ready. We've got to make sure that we're spending time in His Word and listening to what He has to say and moving in the direction that He has for us. And we will begin to cry and we will lift up our hands and we will praise Him and He will do amazing things which we can't even think or imagine. That's what Scripture says. I can't even imagine what it would be like to actually have this place packed out again and see people coming down the aisle and kneeling and praying and asking Jesus to save them. And yet He can do that. He can do that. But He may be waiting on us, more likely than not. Father, help